So, I know I'm getting old when I start telling stories, but here's the truth. When I was younger, probably 7 or 8 years old, when school got out, the school year was done, we would wake up in the morning, have one or two, maybe three bowls of cereal, and we would be gone all day. We would be gone sometimes a couple of days. Didn't have cell phones. My mom was a single mom, and she's like, well, haven't heard from the police. That's a good thing. And so we did our thing. And we lived out in Walled Lake, which at that time was kind of rural, and then it started to get built up. And so we would wander. We'd play wiffle ball and have all kinds of games. And one of the things we would do is we would find old, these are old oil barrels that were by houses, and they would be out in the fields, and we would push them over to the swamp because we had some swamps, and we'd play battleship on the little things. And it was really, I look back now, it's like that was not only stupid but dangerous. But one of the things that was interesting, we'd get a bunch of us, and when you would push that thing over, there'd be a bunch of field mice underneath there, and they would all scatter. And I was going to show a video of that, but I couldn't find it. But I found the next best thing. Here's a video of a restaurant when the lights are turned on, and you'll see, yes, the rats go running. Oh, sick, isn't it? Now, you want to know which Grosse Pointe restaurant that is, don't you? Well, I'm just kidding. It's not a Grosse Pointe restaurant. But the light exposes the darkness, and they, you know, the darkness, it scurries. It flies when that happens. Nasty. Well, the light does the same. There goes one last one. The light does the same thing. I think they said there's like 21 rats. I mean, how disgusting is that? But same things. The light does that to people. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. This is our 40th message in this passage, in this book, and it has been glorious. Again, you got to understand the background of where these people are coming from. They were coming from a situation where all of the city, it was a wicked city, Ephesus was a wicked city that worshiped the goddess Diana, and it had its ritual prostitutes, and it was a perverse time, it was a perverse city, and not different from what we live in today. And there were people who would be in darkness, and then they would hear the gospel. So they lived their whole lives in darkness, doing all of these wicked things. And they would hear the glories of the gospel, and they would come into light. Now, in this section that we're looking at, that we have been for the last few weeks, Paul is going back and forth trying to get them to understand their life and what it was like. And so I'm going to back up, and I'm going to kind of review some things. At the end of chapter 4, it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. That's kind of like our motivation for living a right life. And then he lays out 6 things that God's children must eliminate. Verse 3, but sexual immorality and all impurity and covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. And then he replaces it. He says, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. And so when we are going through this, we talked about we as believers who walk in the light, we have much to be thankful for. We are forgiven. We are redeemed. The penalty of our sin is not upon us. And truly, we have a hope and a future. We have been adopted, and we have all these great blessings in Christ. And then he comes and he gives a warning, starting in verse 5. Really, the dangers of impurity, the dangers of not taking it seriously. He says in verse 5, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So God is not messing around. He takes it seriously, and he wants us to take it seriously. And last week, Pastor Jason talked about avoiding partnerships that were the wrong kind. Look at verse 7. Therefore, do not become partners with them. At one time, you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what pleases the Lord. So at one time, every one of you were in darkness. If you're here today and you could say, yes, I am a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm a Christian, you were one time in darkness. You were lost. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. You were. And so was I. That's where we were. But at one time you were darkness. But what happened? God in his mercy brought someone into your life who shared the good news of Jesus Christ, that he loved you so much that he came into this world, that he died on the cross and bore the very punishment that your sins and my sins deserve on that cross, that whoever would believe in him, and really believe, not just say the words, but whoever would believe would not perish but have eternal life. And so if you're a Christian, there was one point in time in your life where someone shared the gospel with you and you came out of darkness and you walked into the glorious light of the gospel. And he has saved your soul. And it truly is a glorious thing. And it's always good to look back at the people who God sent your way. When God did a work in Paul's life, and he said to Paul, he says, I'm sending you, and he goes on to say, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That's how we come to know him, by faith alone in Christ alone, that we have eternal life, and we are sanctified, and we are holy, and that's what he has done for us. Now, we pick up the same thing. Paul keeps going in this. Look at verse 11. It says this: take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. We're to expose the darkness. Now, the question comes up, how is darkness exposed? That's a good question for us to ask. If you were once darkness, and now you're light in the Lord, and there's still darkness out there, we all agree with that. We live in a dark world. You work in a dark world. Some of your family, they are currently in a dark world. They're lost. They're in darkness. So what are we to do? It says, we're to expose it. It says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose it. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. So I have like four or five things here that I want to look at of how darkness is exposed. And I've been praying about this and thinking about this and looking at my own life in this. So here goes. First, darkness is exposed when Christians see evil as it is and don't walk in the darkness. When I gave my notes to the staff, they're like, that doesn't make sense. Well, let me explain. It does, but I just have to explain it. Darkness is exposed. In other words, the light comes on over there when Christians see evil as it is and they don't walk in darkness. See, here's my problem. Until I was 19 years old, I was lost. I lived in darkness. I was darkness. I recruited people to darkness. I had fun in darkness. I partied. I did all kinds of crazy things. And I tried to take all my friends, we're living in darkness. This is great. But there was a weightlifting coach who, by God's grace, had been talking to me, and God opened my blind eyes, and I became a believer, and I came into the light. And he marvelously saved me. But you know what my biggest problem has been since that time? There's part of me that still likes the darkness. There is part of me that says, the darkness is kind of fun. You know, I mean, after all, this is where most of the world is. This is where most of the entertainment that you will watch, it's in darkness. Most of your friends are here. I'm telling you, every time you turn on the television, you are getting bombarded with darkness. And there's a part of me that still likes it. Why? Because it's comfortable. It's fun. Sometimes it's funny. I mean, before I became a believer, for years I had worked at a movie theater. And I was there for 5 years. For about 3.5 of those years, I was in darkness. And so I watched all kinds of movies that were at that time hilarious, but inappropriate and racially insensitive, and they were treating women poorly. All those things that's where I was, and then I came to understand that is sin, and I came out of darkness. But then there's parts where it's like, I would still find myself thinking, that's kind of funny at times. And I think that this is the Christian's number one struggle, is the darkness is not exposed, because what happens is we come over here and we're not shining our light. Here's what Jesus says. You, believer, are the light of the world. And what are you to do? What does Jesus say? Let your light shine. So we turn on our light and we're to walk into the darkness. We're going to talk about this in a second. But you know what we do when we're in the darkness? We kind of like dim it down, because we don't want anyone to think we're a Jesus freak. You know, you don't want to be like those pastors. They're crazy. But, you know, I can hang out with my buddies. I can do things. I can be darkness. I mean, I'm not going to be as dark as them, because after all, you know, I get it now. But what happens is we end up acting and living in darkness. And so Paul has said to us over and over again to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupted through its deceitful desires. My biggest battle over my years in my Christian life is I like the darkness. I want to like snuggle up to the darkness, and then I like, oh, I can't do that, and the Holy Spirit convicts me. But we as believers have to let our light shine. And the darkness is not going to be exposed if we act just like the world. It's not. People should be able to look at your life and the way you work and the way you interact and the way you talk and the way you live. They should see something different. I'm not saying you got to jam the Bible down their throat, but they should see something different in you that is gospel transformed. And when you have to, because here's my life, okay? And we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but someone will be in the darkness, and I'll be talking to them, and they end up trying to justify their darkness. Believers, they're trying to justify their darkness and saying, well, I've even had people say to me, I'm trying to win people in the darkness, and I am perfectly fine with that. We're going to talk about how that works. Jesus hung around people that were lost in darkness all the time, but he did not become darkness. See, we are called to be different. We are called to be a particular people. We are called to be lights. We are called to be his ambassadors. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you are to have a light that shines and shines brightly. This is not just for like, no, the really radical ones. David Platt wrote a book called Radical, and I'm just reviewing it. And you know what's funny? The book, it's not radical. All he's asking Christians to do is act like Christians. And in this world where the church has been exposed and really lives in darkness, it's kind of like he's saying, hey, take your light and let it shine. Why? Because Peter said this, beloved, I urge you as sojourners, which means foreigners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which war against your soul. We are called to be different. We're in the world, but not of the world. Now, second point. Darkness is exposed when impacted by light. It says in verse 13, when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes darkness. So here's what we do. We take the light. And do we spend time with unbelievers? Absolutely. We're not jamming it down their throat. We're not being negative. We're just being the lights of the world. And what happens when we come over to the light? Darkness is exposed. It's seen. But we let our light shine in the darkness. What is so troublesome to me is that believers, Christians, some of us, and even me and my, there's been times in my life where it's like, well, I don't want my buddies to think less of me, so I'll dial it down. You know, I want to fit in with this group, so I'm going to dial it down. Did Jesus ever dial it down? That answer is no. Did he hang out with sinners? Yes. And he was the light of the world. And he loved them and he did not compromise. And he wants us to do the same thing. And so, did Jesus laugh at inappropriate jokes? That answer is no. Did he do things that in that time, in that culture, were considered sinful? That answer is no. He was with them. He was even maligned for hanging out with prostitutes and sinners and, you know, tax collectors, all the bad people. But in him was no sin, and he let his light shine gloriously. And so that's what we're called to do. We're called, light is going to expose it, and it's going to do it naturally. It's going to do it naturally. And you know, it happens. When you care about the darkness, you're going to want to take the light into the darkness. What I've heard people say is, well, I'm going to act like the darkness to win the darkness. Can I tell you? No one is going to come to Jesus if you act just like the world. They're not. Now, you can be with them, but you let your light shine. And when that happens, not everyone's thrilled. Can I tell you that? Here's what Jesus says. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 19, he said, "The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For anyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed." In reality, I know when I came to Jesus and all the guys I used to party hard with, and I brought the light of the gospel in, and they would say, "Hey, let's go do this, let's go do that." And I said, "Nope." And they say, "Why?" And then I would just give them the gospel of why. I lost pretty much all my friends. Why? Because they love darkness. And they would say to me, "You're judging me. Why are you judging me?" I'm not judging you. I'm just being light. I've been where you are, and you would share the gospel in darkness. It doesn't like the light. And I think sometimes we don't want the rejection. But do you love your friends? How can you say you love them and let them go to eternity where they're going to be in torment forever? You don't love them. Spurgeon said, "If anyone goes to hell, let him go through our tears and having us be on our knees praying for them. May we be reaching out to them with the truth. May we bring the light." But I'm telling you, woe to you if all men speak well of you. Because when you bring the light in, there's going to come a time where your friends are going to say, "Enough." And again, you're not jamming the Bible down their throat. You're speaking the truth in love, and you're just being a light. I hope you're getting this. I've been thinking about this for a while, because it's like, this is where the church needs to be. The future of this church and every church needs to be living out this passage in a Holy Spirit-led, Pastor Jason's going to talk about that next week, redemptive way where we are living it out. A third point that really is close to this one. Darkness is exposed when it is irritated by light. And it is. Oh, it's irritated. We should not be the irritation. You should not be a weirdo, okay? No weird Christians. We shouldn't be. We are to let your speech be always gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person. You should not be argumentative. But there is an irritation that does happen. Because why? The world hates the light. In 1 Peter it says, For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, lawless idolatry. With respect to these, they are surprised when you do not join with them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. That word malign means abuse or speak evil of you. So there is a part when you do bring the light in, they're not gonna love you. Some will. Matter of fact, we're gonna see that in a second. There are some that God's gonna use you. My best friend Mike is now a pastor in New Hampshire, and he was one of my partying buddies. And it took him a year. I was the only Christian around Walled Lake, I felt like, for a year, but he came to know Jesus. And the other ones, they kept me at arm length. When they would go to certain places that we used to go, they didn't invite me after a while because they knew I wouldn't go. Another way that the word is, or the darkness is exposed, with God's word. And this is really in the context of really all of life. The word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces, it divides, it cuts to the soul and the spirit. In the book of Corinthians, when the church was gathered and there were people that were sharing God's word back and forth in a spirit-anointed way, and unbelievers would come inside, here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 14, 24. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted, same word, exposed by all, and he is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. There will be times when you will preach the word. You will come and you'll be able to say, give a reason for the hope that is in you, and do it with gentleness and respect and meekness. And there will be times when the Holy Spirit is working. Because guess what? We were one time in darkness, and someone brought the light to us, and we believed. So this is what God's called the church to do. Is it easy? No, but it is every one of our, as believers, responsibility. And don't sit there and say, well, that's your guy's job. You're like the hired guns. I mean, we'll do it. I'll do it all day long. Twice on Sunday. It's a joke. You know, you get that. But I mean, we're all called to do this. We're all called to be giving his light out. And it's funny, people in darkness, they don't like it. They'll refuse. They'll just say, "Oh, that book is full of errors." And I always say, "Here's the Bible. Show me one." And they're, "Well, I've heard, you know, oh, are they watching late night TV and they got it from commentators that the Bible's full of errors?" And so we are to just lovingly care for people, expose the light. There's one last way. Darkness is exposed through direct confrontation. And this is, of all of them, this is probably the most uncomfortable for everyone in the church. So let me explain how this works. Kevin, come here. You're in the sermon now. All right. Let's say, Kevin, that one time was in darkness, comes into the light and says, "I am a believer in Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord." He gets baptized. He's living for Jesus. Everything's great. Then, little by little, because it happens to all of us, we get drawn to the darkness. Next thing you know, Brother Kevin's over here in the darkness. So what are you to do? I'll pray? Okay, that's great. Yes, pray. Do we just leave him there? Here's what the scripture says. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. We just can't sit there and say, poor Kevin, man, dear wife's here, got a child in the nursery, one on the way. Just too bad that he's living in darkness. Man, that'd be great. I wish he'd come out of the darkness. I'm going to pray for him. And we should pray for him. But you know what else the scripture says you do? You go. You take the light of God's word and you go to him and you say, brother, what's going on? You're in darkness. You are in light. What's happening? Now, Kevin Boy here, depending on how deep he is in the swamp of sin, is not going to be happy with me. He's going to want to push me away. He's going to get ugly with me. He's going to say, you're judging me. It's like, am I judging him? If I did not love him, I'd say, man, stay there. Can I tell you, when you're in the light and you have to take your light and you got to go and try to help a brother, that's the most difficult thing that you have to do. And we're all called to do it. We're all called to do it. We're all called to say, brother, see that lady down there, your wife? You got a little kid and you got one in the oven. Buddy, you need to get your life right with the Lord. And we love him, we care with him, and we try to drag him back to the light. That's what God calls us to do. Okay, you're good. Have a seat. Thank you. So, are you tracking with me? It's like, I can sense. First service, I sensed everyone's neck stiffening up. It's like, well, that's your job. That's Pastor Jason's job. We don't do that. It's like, no, that's all of our jobs. And you know, I hear people say, well, who am I? I'm not perfect. And Jesus said, Matthew 7, judge not lest you be judged. Who am I to judge? But keep reading in Matthew chapter 7. Because Jesus said, why do you see the speck in your brother's eye and do not notice the log that is in your own eye? And why do you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your own eye when there is a log in your own eye? But then he goes on to say this. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So every one of us constantly got to be taking the log out of our eye. We need to be repentant. We need to be evaluating our lives. We need to make sure that we're in the light, we're walking in the light, the light's shining. And that's a battle for every one of us. But when we do that, if we see our brother in darkness, even if we've only had a week of sobriety, and you're good, you go to the one that's, if you would, in darkness, and you say, brother, come to the light. You do go directly. In his instruction to the church, Paul said this to Timothy, do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke, same word as expose, exact same Greek word. Rebuke them in the presence of all so that the rest may stand in fear. That's what we're called to do. I just can't sit here as a pastor and say, yep, I'm in darkness. You know, love you guys, but I've been married too long and I'm just trading it in. I'm going to go do my own thing. But I'm still going to be your pastor. Wrong. Doesn't work that way. Nor should it. Not at all. Let me give you one more passage. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm telling you know what I'm calling you to? Radical biblical Christianity. That's all it is. I'm not making any of this stuff up. I just say, read it. This is not like our slant on things. This is clearly what God's word says. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and that church was messed up. It had all kinds of divisions. They were believers, but they were once darkness. Now they're light in the Lord, and they were battling and struggling. And here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 5:1. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of the kind that is not tolerated even among pagans. So the pagans are a little shocked. It's like, whoa, did you see what the church people are doing? That's pretty bad. You know it's bad when the pagans are looking at your church and scratching their head. It says, for a man has his father's wife. Are you arrogant? Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. Drop down to verse 9. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world or the greedy or the swindlers or the idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of the world. Do you get what he's saying right now? He's saying the world's in darkness. The world, yes, they're immoral. Yes, they're idolaters. Yes, they're swindlers. Yes, they're greedy. He's not saying separate from them, but he is saying, he says, verse 11, I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of a brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or of idolater or of a reviler or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. Verse 12, for what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. So this whole concept of church discipline, he says, you know, if Kevin's in the darkness and he refuses to come out of the darkness, what do? You take two or three others and then you take it to the church and then you treat him like an unbeliever. Matthew chapter 18. But how do you do it? You take the light there. We have to be people of light, and we can't just look the other way and say, that's too bad. We have to live this out. It says this, and again, going back to Ephesians 5:11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. Now, we get the invitation and the call. And this is really what every one of us is called to. Look at verse 13. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. So many commentators believe verse 14 is taken from a early Easter hymn in the early church. It was an invitation to people who were unbelievers. And it says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So there is that invitation to those in darkness to come into the light. But then he says to those in the light, be careful then how you walk. And this is my prayer for you. Brothers and sisters, be careful how you walk. Making the best use of your time because the days are evil. What matters in life is not your position, not how much money you have, not where you live, not how comfortable you are. You, if you're here today and you're a believer, you're his ambassador, you're his light, and you and I are called to live this out. We're to take the light of God's word and we're to let it shine in the darkness, and we are to love and to care for those in darkness. Not in a negative, critical, bad way. We're to love them and yet let our light shine. God's going to do his work. But who's he going to use? He's going to use you, brother and sister. And you can't sit there and say, well, we're going to get him to come to church and then you give it to him. That doesn't work that way. I mean, that may happen. You may invite him to church, but you're the one that has been being an example. Some of the worst things in the world are when Christians go to work and they don't act like Christians. That's a shame. We, as we live in darkness, work in darkness, are in neighborhoods of darkness. We're to let our light shine. We're not jamming the Bible down their throat every day. We're there just being lights for Jesus. And God's word, God's working in people's lives. And they will. In time, God will work in their lives, and he will use you. But you know what I find? And I've seen this all my Christian life. God never uses those that want to dial it down. Oh, I want to hang out. You know, I'm talking to them. Sooner or later, you got to let your light shine, and there's some that aren't going to like it. But you don't do it in a negative way. You do it in a Christ-exalting, God-loving way that you let your light shine, and you care for people. And he will work. Why? Just like Paul was sent, we are sent to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So the future of the church is not music programs, and it's not, I mean, VBS is great, but it's only great because I know those 180 kids plus that were here every day heard the gospel. We're given the seed of God's word. We're letting the light shine in the community. That's what you were called to do and to be, every one of you, every one of us. And I pray, here's what I know is going on, because I talk to tons of people. There are some of you that are right here right now. Yes, you love Jesus, but you're way comfortable in the darkness. And all I'm saying is turn that light on and let it get bright. Let your light shine. There are people here that need to know that you are different, that you are a light, that there are reasons you do what you do. Again, the day of, you're not sitting there, oh, you're doing this. You're not pointing out negativity. You're just letting your light shine. And God will open doors, but he wants to use you. And some of you need to, because I battle it. Like I said, there's times where it's like, oh, just turn it down. No. I mean, we don't have that prerogative. We got to let our light shine. And then God uses us and will use us, and his word will not return void. And there'll be people in heaven that you don't even know about because he's used you and your light has shined. And there are people, I've had people come up to me and my friend Mike, because we both worked at that movie theater, and they came up to us 10, 15 years later and they said, you know, we saw the change in you. We saw what God did in your lives when you guys were different. And 10 years later, we became a believer. But it all started when the light began to shine. When we saw you guys, I mean, we were pagans. I mean, we were bad. And God saved sinners like us. And so they looked and they go, And now, God's done the work in their lives, and some of them have believed the gospel. And that's what God calls us to, Crosspoint. We're to be different. We're to be lights. And I pray that we would be. I'm going to ask Ed to come, and he's going to lead us in a song. But I want us just to evaluate our heart of where we would be in this spectrum of light and darkness right now. Lord, you know us. You know when we sit down and when we rise up. Lord, you know those that came in here and they really don't believe. They just came to church because it was something they got dragged to or whatever. They felt a prompting, and yet may this be the day where they see that, Lord, you so loved us, that you gave your son that we would have eternal life and a future and a hope and a purpose to live. And Lord, may you miraculously do your work of salvation in their lives and bring them from darkness to light, that they would turn from their sin and by faith alone in Christ alone surrender their lives to him. Lord, for those of us who have dimmed our light so we could be comfortable in the darkness, Lord, may we realize that you have called us to be the light of the world. And we're to let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. So I pray that we would turn our light up and let it shine, And that you would get the glory. Lord, make us a people that are different. Whether you call it radical, so be it. Lord, may we be people that radically do what your word says to do. And so, Lord, make us sensitive to your spirit, Lord, as we look, as Pastor Jason will open the word next week. Help us to see how we to be yielded to you to do this on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis. But we want to be your ambassadors. If you're here this morning and you say, I need something to change, I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but I'm just going to pray for you. But just say it to the Lord. I need to start walking in the light more. I need to turn my light up more. Make that commitment to the Lord right now. Father, you know, you do know us. And I pray that we would be your ambassadors, that you would use us, that we would be people who not only say we believe your word, but we live it out, not in our power, but in yours, for your glory. And we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to sing a song that you've known for the longest time. Maybe you'd not have thought of it as a song of commitment, but we are making it a song of commitment now. Would you stand and join me in this? Says everywhere I go, and I'm not going to dial it down. No matter where I'm at, if I'm with those that are in the darkness, I'm going to let it shine there. I'm not going to let that influence me.
Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it
As we close, just a reminder, we can get some many hands to lift up that piano, and we have a business meeting afterwards. But I do pray, let our light shine. God will use you. And there's great joy in obeying our King. Let's pray. Father, oh, you have been so good to us. You rescued us out of the darkness. Lord, you raised us from the dead. You have given us an inheritance and a hope and a future. You have forgiven our sins. And Lord, help us to be your ambassadors, your lights. At our workplaces, Lord, help us to be people who don't grumble, but work is unto you. And and where we live, help us to let our light shine wherever we're at, that they would see a difference. And Lord, even in our homes, let our light shine. So Lord, we just give you our lives afresh. Thank you for new starts and fresh beginnings, and pray that you would use us for your glory. And all God's people said, amen.